Tonight, with Hashem's help, we're going to learn some pieces from the Haggadah of Rav Meir Shapiro Zatzal, the Lubliner Rav. Of course, Rav Meir Shapiro is most famous for being the founder of the Daf Yomi, but he was obviously much, much, much more than that. If you've had the opportunity to study his life at all, and if you haven't, it's kedai. His very, very short life. He lived a total of about 46 years, from 1887 to 1933. There's an amazing biography of him, if you ever are looking for something to do on a rainy day, or a coronavirus day, I guess you could say. There's a beautiful biography called A Blaze in the Darkness, in the Darkening Gloom, by a Talmud of his. Rav Meir Shapiro, of course, was the founder of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, and while he didn't write this Haggadah, it was put together by a very chashuv Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, who writes a lot about the world that was, and particularly the world of Hasidus, Polish Hasidus, Rav David Avram Mandelbaum. And you may own Svarim by him and not even realize it. He's a very well-published author. But he put together this Haggadah, and it's based... Sorry, I just need one second... It's based upon teachings from Rav Meir Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, that he collected from different places, from essays and from Torah journals and from all sorts of places, Mipi Ashmua, things that were passed down orally. So I want to try to learn maybe 8 pieces together. I know that's ambitious. We're going to try to go quickly. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to email me or WhatsApp me or be in touch after the shiur. I'm happy to hear them. We're just all trying to juggle a lot of things in a complicated world. Okay, we'll start with this first piece. It appears on page 11 in the Sefer. And of course, this Thursday is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And B'Nisan Nivra Ha'olam. We know that according to one opinion in the Gemara, the world was created in Nisan. So he writes here, he says, the Medrash Isa Plugta, we know there's a machlokas in the Medrash between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. When was the world created? And how was the world created? Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the Shemayim was created... Can you see the screen share? You see like where my mouse is? It's working? Okay, great. So Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Shemayim was created first, and then the earth was created afterwards. Beis Hillel is of the opinion that Ha'aretz Nivreis Tchila, the earth was created first, and then the Shemayim was created afterwards. And the Gemara works on this question. Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis HaShemayim Veis Ha'aretz. Does that mean that Shemayim came before Aretz? There are proofs in both directions. On a certain level, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, they're both true. Created in Nisan, or was the world created in Tishrei? Ubir ha'inyan, he writes in the second paragraph, de'be'emes b'machshava ala livro shamayim tchila, u'lamaisa nivra ha'aretz tchila. On the realm of machshava, God contemplated creating heavens before earth, but lamaisa, in practice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the earth before the shamayim. Sof ma'ase b'machshava tchila. So to speak, bringing forth the earth before the heavens. So he explains, if you look in the writings of the Arizal, Beis Shammai, we know, is the world of Machshava, and Beis Hillel is the world of Maisa. So he explains that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are actually Lishitasam. Beis Shammai, from the world of Machshava, which is, by the way, the reason we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is a little bit above this world. It's a little bit of a Shammayim type of perspective. So therefore, Beis Shammai, of course, says in the Medrash that Shammayim was created first. That's the nature of their soul. And Beis Hillel, the world of Hillel, is the world of the Olam Hamaaseh, and therefore Hillel, of course, is of the opinion that the Aretz was created first. But what's amazing, says Rav Meir Shapiro, and again, this is just a small taste of his brilliant Bekiyas that's found throughout this entire several hundred page Haggadah. Again, there's tremendous lumdus in here as well, which we're not going to focus on tonight. But he says, with this we can understand the machlokas. When was the world created? Was it in Nisan or was it in Tishrei? Because he writes, he says, the machlokas in Maseches Rosh Hashanah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, was the world created in Tishrei, or the world created in Nisan? Tosfos explains, based on Rabbeinu Tam, that in Tishrei the world was created in thought, and in Nisan the world was created in action. And that aligns so perfectly with the worlds of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the world was created in Tishrei, is a student of Beis Shammai. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is reflecting that worldview of Shammai. Even the name Shammai sounds like Shammayim a little bit. Rabbi Eliezer, who's one of the Talmidei Beis Shammai, is of the opinion that just like Beis Shammai said that Shemayim was created first, so too Rabbi Eliezer says the world was created in Tishrei, which is when, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the world was created in Machshava. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, is a Talmud from the world of Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel is the world of Masa. And therefore, like Rabbeinu Tam says, in Nisan the world was created b'masa, and therefore it's not surprising that Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created in Nisan. So just an amazing way that he puts together the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, explaining this concept on a deeper level, how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are two different worldviews, Machshava and Maisa, and how that's reflected by their Talmidim in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and their machlokes was the world created in Tishrei, or is the world created in Nisan. I guess what that means for us, I guess on a practical level, is that as we enter into Chodesh Nisan, and we feel that our ma'asim, our ability to do, has become more limited, we have to fight against that. And we have to remind ourselves that Nisan is the time of the year where we celebrate ma'asim, where we celebrate doing. We have to find ways to continue to do, even in our somewhat limited fashion. Okay, let's go on to another piece. It appears on page 45 to 47. And he wonders about the following question. How many times does the Torah discuss the Aliyah L'Regel, the Gimel Regalim, ascending to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shlosh Regalim? And the answer is three times. It appears once in Parshas Mishpatim, as it says in the Pasuk, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana Yere'eh Kol Zechorchas Penei Adon Hashem. It appears a second time in Parshas Kisisa, again, Shalosh Pa'amim Es Penei Adon Hashem Elokei Yisrael, you should appear before Hashem, the God of Israel. And it appears a third time in Parshas Re'eh, again, Mishpatim, Kisisa, and Re'eh, three times, three separate occasions, where the Torah discusses appearing before Hashem at the Beis HaMikdash on the Shlosh Regalim. And again, Shalosh Pa'amim V'gomer Es Penei Hashem Elokecha. So says Rav Meir Shapiro, why does the Torah mention it three separate times? And if you pay attention to the pasuk that it quotes each time, you learn something very amazing. He quotes the Rambam, who explains that when it comes to the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and the recognition that there was a God in this world, the Rambam describes, on a certain level, that Avram Avinu was the first one to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an individual. And Avram was the one who proved that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists at all, and he's interested in the lower realms, that there's a Hashkacha B'tachtonim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was someone who is the God who still governs the universe and is still interested in the world as it currently exists. That was the Chiddush of Avram Avinu, as the Rambam describes the contrast of Avram and his generation. Acharav, says Rav Meir Shapiro, Ba Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu revealed that not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashgiach B'tachtonim, but Yaakov Avinu revealed another level of Hashkacha, Yeshlo Hashkacha Miuchedes Al Yisrael. That in fact the Jewish people, as a people, have a unique type of Hashkacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over His chosen people and His beloved children in a way that is perhaps more precise than the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu governs the rest of the world. And then, says Rav Meir Shapiro, there's a third type of Hashkacha that's revealed in the world, and that takes place at Har Sinai. Achareyim Zachu, he says afterwards, it was revealed, Shishim Ribo Yisrael Lamaimer Anivchar, 600,000 Jews, and then some, stood at Har Sinai. Shebo Nisbara Hamadrega Shlishas Be'amunas Hayichud. The recognition of God went to the next level, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach B'protas Al Kol Yachid V'Yachid. That Hashem not only governs and is involved in the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the world, level 1, Avram Avinu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particularly involved with Klal Yisrael, level 2, the Chiddush of Yaakov Avinu. Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, reveal the concept of being the God of Israel, in addition to being God of the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of Klal Yisrael. But then at Har Sinai, every single Jewish person heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak, and at that moment when we heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what was being taught to the world is what? Anochi Ve'ein Zulasi, Yachidu Miyuchadu, Elokecha Bepratus. That I, the God, the only God, the true God, and the only true God, am Elokecha in the singular, I am your personal God. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, perhaps the three holidays, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, correspond to these three different degrees of revelation. He says that Sukkot corresponds to what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu being involved as God of the world. That's why on Sukkot we bring a total of 70 karbanos corresponding to the 70 nations of the world. That God is not only the Jewish God, and he's not only the individual Jew's God, but he's the God of the universe. And therefore, again, on Sukkot we celebrate, we bring over the course of the Yom Tov 70 parim, keneged ayin umos, corresponding to the 70 nations. So that corresponds to the pasuk that says that what in Parshas Mishpatim, come and appear before Pnei Ha'adon Hashem, namely, that there's a God in the world. Pesach takes it a step further. Pesach is a carbon that is uniquely Jewish. To be able to bring a carbon Pesach, you have to be a Jew, you have to be circumcised, kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. A non-Jew is not allowed to eat from the carbon Pesach. And therefore that represents what? The fact that a Kodesh Bo, God of Shem, it says, es Pnei Adon Hashem, Elokei Yisrael. Specifically, the God of the Jewish people. And of course, the third time that we appear before Hashem is on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Shavuos is when we heard a Kodesh Baruch Hu say at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in the singular. And therefore, the third time the Torah mentions appearing before Hashem, it says you should appear three times before who? Pnei Ha'adon Hashem Elokecha. So it's amazing. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, these three separate mentions of the appearance before Hashem on the Shlosh Regalim, once in Mishpatim, once in Parshas Kisisa, and once in Parshas Re'eh, correspond to three different relationships that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with his world. And those three relationships themselves correspond to the three Yamim Tovim. Sukkot is God as creator of the world. Pesach is Hashem in his unique relationship with the Jewish people as a unit. And Shavuos, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, represents the unique and individual relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with each and every one of us. This next one is a little story that he shares on page 64. I find it a little surprising that this story is true, but who am I to question it? He tells the following story. He says that he was once asked, it's amazing, you study again Rav Meir Shapiro's very short life, in addition to being the founder of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, and a person, by the way, he came to America. In 1927, Rav Meir Shapiro came collecting tzedakah in America, and there's amazing stories from that trip. So if you're in America right now, you're in the same place that Rav Meir Shapiro once walked. So that's a chashuv thing. But in addition to all of his tremendous Torah teaching and Torah building and fundraising and publishing Chidushei Torah, Shailos and Tshuvos, Or HaMeir, in addition to all of that, he was also very much involved in politics. So it's told here on page 64 that Shaul Pam Tzir B'Sem HaPolani, that he was once asked by a delegate in the Polish Sem. The Polish Sejm is the Polish parliament. He was once asked the following question. Again, I don't know why this non-Jewish Polish political parliamentary member asked him this question, but here was the question. He asked him, Lama ochlim hayehudim belel haseder beitzim kashos? Why do Jews eat hard-boiled eggs at the Seder? I'm not sure how this Polish delegate from the Sejm was able to even know this, but okay, he asked him. He said, you know, I get it. I understand you guys do the whole matzah thing and the maror thing. I understand that once upon a time maybe you brought an offering when you had a temple. What's with the hard-boiled eggs? What does it have to do with the story of the Jewish people? And Rav Meir Shapiro answered, he said, Zehu semel lekashyus ha'oref ha'yehudis. This refers to what? To the strong will, the stubbornness of the Jewish people. And we're talking about a holy stubbornness. Because what is the nature of a hard-boiled egg? And the reason I question this story is only because this vart is brought in many places. It's hard to imagine, again, that he had such a conversation with a member of Polish parliament, but it could be. But he said the hard-boiled egg represents our entire people. Habetzim halalu, what's the nature of a hard-boiled egg? The nature of a hard-boiled egg is kol ma shehein misbashlos yoser, harein miskashos yoser. You take a very delicate egg, a raw egg, it slips out of your hand, it makes a big mess. It's so delicate, it's so fragile. But the more you cook it, the stronger, the more firm it becomes. The story of the Jewish people is that we've been, so to speak, they've put the fire under us many times throughout history. And there's many people who have tried to what? Who've tried to, so to speak, boil us up and try to cook us up, so to speak. Again, metaphorically. But every time, they try to finish us off, we only become stronger and more firm. Yoser v'yoser. V'kach ha'davar im ha'yehudim. Kasher ya'anu oso. That's the story, that's the introduction of Paro's recognition of the Jewish people. Paro, you think that you're going to afflict us, and you think that the more you try to break us, the more you're going to be able to destroy us. The pasuk says explicitly, "Kasheria anu oso." The more you try to harm us, "Kein yirbeh v'chein yifrotz." The stronger and more powerful we in fact become. So let's talk about that for a minute, and appreciating some of the suffering that we went through. Those who are in the regular shir have been talking about it a lot recently. How sometimes suffering is a tremendous bracha in disguise. My friends, if there's one Torah you're going to hold on to tonight, it's this next one that we're about to learn together. On the words in the Haggadah, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chishev Es HaKetz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu contemplated and considered the suffering of the Jewish people and calculated the redemption. When would the time come to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim? We know we got out after 210 years, even though the Torah initially predicted we would be there for 400 years. So Chazal explained, and this is on page 71 to 72. Chazal explained, Chishev Es HaKetz, Chazal Omrim, Ki Akoshi Hashibud Hishlim Es Minyan Shel Shnos HaGalus. The fact that we suffered so terribly actually sped up the Gullus for the Jewish people. And that's something we need to think about in life. When things get really bad, think of it as a bracha in disguise. I'm suffering more, but I'm suffering more quickly. Hagzeros hisgabru aleihem b'chol pam yoser v'yoser. Paro decided to constantly up the ante and make things more difficult. It's the cliffhanger at the end of Parsha Shemos when Moshe comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Hashem, ever since you sent me to Paro, things are just getting worse and worse. And Hashem says, Moshe, Moshe, be patient, you'll see. This is all part of my master plan. That every bit of the suffering and every bit of the gezerah is actually here to help you. And with this, Rav Meir Shapiro explains a pasuk that we've seen so many times, but we never read it in this way. Look at the pasuk. It's on the screen in front of you. Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha mimitzrayim laila. The Torah says out of Mitzrayim, and the Gemara is trying to figure out exactly how it actually walked out, perhaps in broad daylight. Omeres HaTorah, the Torah tells us, Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha mimitzrayim laila. Hashem, you took us out of Mitzrayim at night. What does that mean? Look at these beautiful words. Hashem Yisbarach Ga'alcha Balayla mimitzrayim. Hashem redeemed us at night from Mitzrayim. What does that mean? That means the night itself, belayla hachashuch, the night, the dark night, hamisamein as hagalus, night which represents the hardship, night which represents the suffering, night which represents that exiled experience, hatzaris vahashibud, kvar oz hutzrech Hashem yizbarach mimitzrayim, hutziacha Hashem yizbarach mimitzrayim, that Hashem took us out at night. It doesn't mean that when the night was over, Hashem took us out, but the experience of night itself was part of the redemption. Kihi hanosenes, the reason we left Mitzrayim 190 years earlier, the gematria of the word ketz, that hashibud hanigzar hu, shayasiba haikaris legula secha, that it was dafka, that suffering, that itself became the redemption. So yes, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out and it happened to have been dark at night, but the night, that experience of darkness, that experience of gullus was part of the redemption itself. And with this, you'll understand maybe an even more beautiful explanation of another pasuk. Kesema l'chol zeh shimesh chodesh ha'aviv. We know that, of course, Pesach is the celebration of the springtime. And even though in parts of the New York and New Jersey was snowing a little bit today, even though it was like 75 degrees 2 days ago, Shem can't seem to make up his mind exactly. Maybe it's reflecting us. We can't seem to make up our mind exactly at times. Olam hafach ra'isi. But chodesh ha'aviv is the sign. Is the hallmark, so to speak, of the Yom Tov of Pesach. Bechoref kulo mechusa, and in the season of winter, everything is covered over. Bilti nere shum pri, you don't see any fruits. Shum tzemach, you don't see anything growing. It appears at times shekol habria shakua b'sheina amuka, that the whole world has fallen asleep. It's unbelievable. You just look out at the world today. You look at places which usually filled with people, and they're empty. They're empty because of what's happening in the world right now. So the world is going through a winter right now. The same way that in the world, when you look at the world in winter, the trees are dead, and there's no flowers, and there's no fruits, and the world looks like the whole world has fallen asleep. But my friends, what's happening beneath the surface? Everyone knows what's happening beneath the surface. We're already celebrating. Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Tu B'Shvat. The world is still dead, and we're celebrating the trees. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the fact that Lamata b'ma'amakei ha'adam, somewhere in the depths of the earth, tzomeach hakol u'marchiv es sharshav, things are beginning to sprout, things are beginning to extend their roots. umechin atzmo letzeis behadar ba'aviv hana'a. And they're preparing themselves that when springtime comes, the beautiful, beautiful flowers and the beautiful fruits are going to grow and sprout once again. And therefore, what does the Torah tell us? Shemur es chodesh ha'aviv. Shemur es chodesh ha'aviv is not just consider when to make a leap year in Adar to maintain the balance of the calendar so that Pesach always falls out in the spring. Shemur es chodesh ha'aviv is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, think about the lesson of spring. The lesson of spring is, don't be a fool and think that all these things just all of a sudden popped out of the ground. They were growing throughout the winter. The winter was part of the growth. Sim lev l'chodesh ha'aviv. Pay attention to what happens in spring and understand that the roots of it, mamish, the roots of it, were taking place in winter. That in the Laila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was preparing Yetzias Mitzrayim, was making Yetzias Mitzrayim happen. No, understand it well. Study the spring. Because if you understand the inyan of the spring, top of the next column, when you understand the nature of this month, you'll understand in the clearest of ways, you'll understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is itself part of the Geula. The same way that the spring is really just the tail end of everything that's been taking place beneath the surface throughout the entire period of winter. What an amazing insight and what a timely insight for us as we're all sitting here, so to speak, like those fruits waiting to sprout back out in the world with Geula's arrival. But in this period of Galus, realize it's part of the building. It's part of the process of developing and of nurturing our growth. Okay, here's an interesting question that he asks on page 106. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvene Yisrael. Did you ever wonder? And I think about this question often. You know, Aaron HaKohen, who was Klal Yisrael's right-hand man, Klal Yisrael were leaning upon Aaron for all those years that Moshe was not around and Moshe wasn't involved until Moshe gets tapped on the shoulder and appointed to save Klal Yisrael. So why is Aaron not given enough credit at times? Take for example, the famous words of Oz Yashir Moshe Uvene Yisrael. What about Aaron? Why is Aaron not a part of the Shira by the Yam? We know Miriam's a part of it. We know about Miriam leading the women in dancing. So where is Aaron? Where is Aaron by Oz Yashir? So he gives a couple of very clever answers, interesting answers. He says it could be that, first of all, that Aaron is not mentioned by the Shira Sayam, because we know about Aaron HaKohen, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Demidoso shal Aaron haisa oei vesabrios. Aaron loved people, human beings. And again, this is a timely vart. Coronavirus is not a Jewish issue, it's a world issue. Oei vesabrios means that we care about humanity. Aaron HaKohen didn't only care about Jews, Aaron HaKohen loved people, period. V'lachein kosha haya lefanev lahagid shira al avdon briosav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amazing. But Aaron HaKohen, who saw up close how the Egyptians tortured Klal Yisrael, and yet Aaron HaKohen couldn't bring himself, perhaps, on some level, it's a deep vart, and I would never say it on my own, but Meir Shapiro is saying it, that Aaron HaKohen couldn't bring himself to celebrate the downfall of the enemies of the Jewish people. Not a poshut thing to say, but a powerful vart for us to think about. Uvederach Efshar, perhaps a second explanation, it could be that we know about Aaron, that when Moshe is told that he's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, and how Aaron HaKohen is going to celebrate his appointment, that he's going to see you v'samach b'libo, he's going to rejoice in his heart. We know what the Torah is revealing to us is that Aaron was a person who knew how to celebrate on the inside. Etzlo haisa ikar ha-simcha, simcha shebalev. Very often in life we think that a person who's besimcha has to express it, you know, wildly, externally, with tremendous eslavus. The Kotzker Rebbe would be a good example. The Kotzker Rebbe was mamish on fire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Kotzker was very, very reserved. As opposed to the Berditchever, the Kedushas Levi, who was literally jumping around the room when he was davening, the Kotzker Rebbe mamish stood during Shemona Esrei, he didn't even shuckle, he kamat barely moved. That doesn't mean that he wasn't on fire for Hashem. So sometimes we mistake external expressions as an expression of eslavus or simcha. If a person's really happy, they have to show it in some type of outward way. Simcha is connected to shleimus. Simcha is connected to a sense of completeness and wholesomeness. And therefore, when the Torah says that when Aaron finds out that Moshe, that his younger brother, is going to be the one who's appointed to save Klal Yisrael, the Moshe who grew up in Paro's palace, the Moshe who wasn't with Klal Yisrael through much of their suffering, you could think that Aaron would be upset, but Aaron had the deepest simcha, the greatest celebration for his brother, and he showed that by keeping it where? Bilibo, in his heart. And therefore, it could be that once again, by Kriyas Yamsuf, as everyone else is singing and everyone else is dancing, and Miriam's got her instruments, Aaron HaKohen, Kedarko B'Kodesh, has this awesome sense of internal simcha. And with this, as Rav Meir Shapiro, we can understand the Maimer Chazal, a very strange Maimer Chazal. Chazal write, Ilu Hayyodea Aaron. If Aaron would have known, Shah Torah Kadosha, Tichtov Alav, Viracha V'Samach B'Libo, that Aaron is going to be described as someone who rejoiced in his heart, Betufim U'Macholos Hayyotze L'Krasa. A very strange Medrash. What's the Medrash saying? If Aaron would have realized that his response would be recorded in the Torah, then he wouldn't have only been happy in his heart, he would have gone out singing and dancing towards Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a strange Medrash. The Medrash says, if Reuven would have known that the Torah was going to write that he was the one to save Yosef, so then he would have tried to save Yosef by what? By literally pulling him out of the pit and fighting off the other brothers. And what are these tzaddikim looking for publicity? Had they known that what? That they would make it into the pages of the Torah, they would have done the mitzvah with greater fanfare. That's hard to imagine. Had Aaron known that the Torah was going to compliment him for being happy for his brother Moshe, he would have acted even more happy. He would have acted with song and dance. Ulechora yesh lahavin, says Rav Meir Shapiro, makes no sense. Was Aaron looking for publicity? Was Aaron looking for likes on Facebook? I don't understand. Why would Aaron be dancing and singing? Just because the Torah would have more to write about him? Chas v'shalom. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, you know what it really means? Aaron was a person, like his brother Moshe, who was a very tzanua person, a person of humility. Aaron very much wanted his simcha to be kept in his heart. He didn't want the Torah even to write that he had feelings in his heart of simcha. So had Aaron known that Hashem was going to reveal the secrets of his heart in public by printing it in the Torah, you know what Aaron would have done? Aaron would have gone out with song and dance. And that way, you know what the Torah would have said? That Aaron was singing and Aaron was dancing, but the secrets of his heart would have remained the secrets of it. Had Aaron realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to reveal the secrets of his heart, he would have liked to keep them a secret. He was so much not interested in the publicity. But perhaps, again, this explains why Aaron HaKohen, an interesting question, and I'm interested to hear if you have other answers to this question, an interesting question as to why is not mentioned by Oz Yashir. And this one is a well-known vart from Meir Shapiro. It's printed in his writings on Chumash as well. But again, it's a timely vart for what we're experiencing in the world right now. We know that in Dayenu, we sing about our relationship with Torah, and we appreciate, we say, had Hashem taken us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu. But of course, you know, many questions on that. How could we live without the Torah? So there's a medrash about Torah. And again, Rav Meir Shapiro being one of the great builders of Torah, one of the great architects of Torah, of the modern world, in the creation of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, it's kedai to understand what he was prepared to do for Torah, as reflected by this medrash. The Medrash says, "B'shlosha dvarim nitna Torah." The Torah was given with three things: be'esh, b'mayim, uvamidbar. The Torah was given with fire. The Torah was given with water, and the Torah was given in the context of midbar, in the context of the experience in the desert. And Rav Meir Shapiro says that really all three of them are expressing one idea, and that is the mesiras nefesh and the emunah, and the willingness to suffer for Torah that the Jewish people have been defined by throughout the ages. Ba'esh, Aleph, Ba'esh, in fire. Of course, the first Jew who took on the world, Echad Haya Avram, as the Navi says, Avram Avinu was prepared to literally be thrown into a fire in order to show his commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Torah is given Ba'esh, yes, an individual who took on the world. He was Yachid Ba'olamo, in the language of Chazal, and he was willing to surpass all of the nisyonos, whatever it would take, even putting his own life on the line, in order to be able to what? In order to be able to solidify a relationship with Hashem. Okay, but maybe you'll say, okay, but that's one person. Can you expect a nation to experience such a thing, to be able to put their lives on the line for the relationship with God? Says Rav Meir Shapiro, b'mayim. Again, what Chazal meant, what the Pasha Pshat in this Medrash is, you'll look in the Mefarshei Pshat on the Medrash. What does it mean the Torah is given with fire and with water and with midbar? Right, a lot to think about there. But says Rav Meir Shapiro, these are three different times the Jewish people sacrificed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'esh is Avram Avinu going into a Kivshan Esh to build a relationship with Hashem and to begin that experience of discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'mayim, says Rav Meir Shapiro, Bezos Merumas HaNisayon HaKlali Shel B'nei Yisrael HaYam. When Klal Yisrael were prepared to enter into the Yam Suf, which again was a frightening experience, And yet the Jewish people were prepared to walk into those waters. We talk a lot about Shevet Yehuda jumping in. We talk a lot about Nachshon jumping in. But really the Jewish people, according to some opinions of Chazal, also had to risk their lives, and certainly they were risking their lives in their flight from Paro. And they did so because Lechtech Achrei Bamidbar, they were chasing after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Bamayim represents the Jewish people as a tzibur risking their lives to go towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But my friends, the question is as follows. Okay, so that's a moment of Mesiras Nefesh. But what about living day in and day out for an extended period of time with Mesiras Nefesh? You know, it's one thing for an individual to have Mesiras Nefesh to jump into a fiery furnace. And it's maybe even another thing for a people, as a tzibur, to put their lives on the line in a moment of great courage. But what about living in that wasteland, in that midbar, not knowing, again, when it's going to end exactly, and how long this journey is going to last, and to continue to live in that situation with Mesiras Nefesh? Says Rav Meir Shapiro, that's that third stage. The Torah is given with Eish and Mayim and Midbar. HaMidbar, he says, HaMivchan HaShlishi, Balahashlim Es HaMagal HaNisyonos Shelefnei Matan Torah. The Midbar represents, again, that third stage of preparation for Kabbalah Torah, and really the additional Midbar period on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Lo dai, it's not enough sha'av ha'uma misnaseva omid ben Yisayon. It's not enough for the founding father of the Jewish people, Avram Avinu, to pass a test or many tests. V'lo dai sh'bamayim b'nala v'niskov al chof yamsuf hisgabru kulam b'amuna b'tochon b'Hashem Yisbach. And it's not enough for the people, again, standing at the yamsuf to act with great courage in that moment. Ki adayin nish'eles ha'shele, because the question remains. Ha'im ha'uma misugeles lisromim rak b'mikrim yoitzim in ha'klal? Are we going to be people who have mesiras nefesh, a moment here and a moment there? O shenimtza behem ha'oz, are we going to be people who have that strength to have mesiras nefesh time and time again, day in and day out? Is our relationship with Torah going to be one of constant sacrifice? Are we prepared to do that for an extended period of time? And the answer is, Bamidbar, yes. Zacharti lachesed nu'rayach. Avas klulasayach lechtech acharai Bamidbar be'eretz lo zerua. When we followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Midbar, we said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that moment, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're with you through thick and thin. We're sticking it out. We're not going to abandon you. And that's how we solidified our relationship with Torah. And again, these are trying days, these are difficult days, but these are days where we prove to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our connection to Torah and our willingness to fight for Torah and to do for Torah and to live with Torah when it hurts is something that we can do for an extended period of time. Halavai, it should be a short period of time, but something that we're prepared to do for an extended period of time. And I'll leave you with one final insight, the very last piece he has in the Haggadah, the very last in the Sefer. Although it's unbelievable, the Sefer actually ends, the last couple of pages of the Sefer publish lists of the names of the Talmidim of Yeshiva Schach Melublin, at the hands of the Nazis, Yamach Shemam. And it's kedai just to read these holy names. Amazing Talmidei Chachamim. Unfortunately, so many of them, their Torah was lost, their lives were cut short, and we don't know a lot about them. But certainly their names deserve to be remembered and published and thought about in some small way. But he ends the Sefer with one final point, and that is, we refer to the night of Pesach as Alel Shimurim. And the question is, why is it called Alel Shimur? So he explains that the word Shimur actually represents something that we got back on the night of Pesach, something that we're trying hard to hold on to right now, and that is our minds, to maintain our mental well-being, to be people of Das. Das means clarity, mental clarity, and strong mental health. Again, something that we don't take lightly in these days of physical health challenges, but mental health challenges as well. So he ends with this, and it should be a tefillah really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us to maintain clarity and strength and yishuv hadas in this very challenging time. He writes, Leil Shimurim, Yesh Lomar Hatam Shenikra Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim Leil Shimurim. Why is the night of Pesach called a Leil Shimurim? What does the word Shimur mean? Demuvuar Bekisvei HaArizal. We know in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh that in Mitzrayim Hayadas Begalus. It's a deep idea. If anyone wants to stay on the call afterwards, I'm sure Yehuda Kolton would be happy to give a 45-minute shiur on it. But the concept of Das and Galus, that we lost our minds a little bit in Mitzrayim. There was a lot of mental manipulation in Mitzrayim. There was a lot of verbal manipulation, there was a lot of physical abuse, but there was a lot of mental manipulation that took place in Mitzrayim. how the Egyptians convinced us of things that were absolutely not true, to the point that we couldn't think straight. Our das, our mindfulness, was lost. There was closed-mindedness in Mitzrayim. U'Pesach hayegu'ulas hadas, and on Pesach, it's a redemption of speech, as other Sfarim discuss, but it's also a redemption of das, a redemption of mindfulness. V'harei mevuar bekama be. Harei mevuar, what does Chav Dalet stand for? Kama duchte, in several places in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in several places. Dechol makom shenamar shimor, whenever the Torah says you need to be shomer something, it's posel hesech hadas. It's ruined with lack of concentration. Shimor means pay attention. Ukemavuar b'mishna depar. For example, we find in the Mishnayos in Meseches Parah, with regard to the mechatas, with regard to preparing the parah aduma, water and ashes, that it requires shmira, and that means it requires mental awareness, not having hesach hadas. Or as you find in the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Lamed Dalid, with regard to shimur of truma, again maintaining mental awareness of what's happening with the truma which is given to the kohen, and therefore it's very fitting that the night that we got back our das, the night that we got our minds back, it's referred to as a leil shimurim, a night of mindfulness, a night of mental clarity and mental awareness that's expressed through the emunah that we're trying to teach on this night, that clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Ve'im kein, kevan shebegu'ulas Mitzrayim chozra bechinas hadas l'makoma. Since this was the night, clarity of mindfulness, of presence of mind, of awareness, of yishuv hadas. And again, what bigger bracha could Rav Meir Shapiro Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha give us as we start to, again, prepare ourselves for this leil shimurim. That we should be people who not only have good physical health, which is certainly something that we need in the world today, but to be able to maintain a clarity amidst all of this darkness. Again, like we learned earlier, remember the Chodesh Aviv. Understand the story of springtime. That it didn't just sprout out of the ground suddenly. It was developing throughout that dark winter period. And halavai, halavai, all of the suffering and all of the difficulty that the world is facing right now, halavai, it should just bring the geula shlema and only good things, physical health, mental health, spiritual strength, physical strength to Klal Yisrael and to the entire world.